Tanagra. When the Walls Fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How you doing today?
We've got a lot on the plate today.
Man, so much on my plate. Not physically, because I'm trying to cut back on how much I eat, which I've realized my biggest problem when it comes to eating, it's portion control.
Oh, yes.
I have no portion control. I have no self-control when it comes to how much I eat.
Yes.
So so what I've done is I've been getting smaller plates.
Mm.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
And just whatever I can get on the plate.
So you know, just cram
a
smaller plate.
Pile it high.
Yeah.
But I can't get another plate.
Well, you can't go wide.
I'm not going to go back for extras. And I'm not eating after 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
If I haven't eaten by 8 o'clock at night, I'm not eating.
About half an hour ago, I had two large burrito supremes at Taco Bell.
And people should know, it's 3 in the morning right now. So that tells everybody everything they need to know about you. What'd you get? The burrito supremes?
Yeah.
What comes in the burrito? Wait a minute. Is this the big food segment?
We've not debuted the food jingle yet.
Well, we're talking about food.
Yeah.
Right? So if we're talking about food, I think we should play the food jingle, which is Big Food. It's a song that we recorded.
Yeah.
Specifically, shout out to my friend Joe Caminetti. This song is for you. This is the Big Food jingle.
B-I-G-F-O-O-D. B-I-G-F-O-O-D, we eat big food. Yeah, we eat big food.
That's right. So that is the Big Food jingle.
I like
and,
it.
And we're talking about food.
We do a lot of big food.
We do. Yeah. I think, you know, in life, just in general, a life rule, bigger equals better, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, not always. Sometimes the smaller you can get, like electronically speaking, a computer chip, you want it, from what I understand, you want it to be as small as possible.
If you had an SD card, you would not want a huge SD card that
bigger
was
is
like,
not better when it comes to
not
SD
physically,
cards.
Physically, but like storage space, you'd want it bigger.
Right. So there is a bigger element to it.
Yes.
Even though, ooh, man, that is deep.
That is deep.
Anyway. Food. I've cut back on my portion control. So, or I've cut back on my portion size. The amount of food that
How's
I'm eating.
How's that doing for you?
I'm seeing dividends. I am, my clothes are fitting. So I do this thing, you know, one of the things that I pride myself on when it comes to this podcast is I want to be transparent. I want to be an open book. What you see is what you get. I got no secrets.
Whoa.
So
slow down a little bit.
One of the things, well, not completely. Not completely. I do not share any controversial opinions, but when it comes
to... Who did you vote for this last presidential election?
Come again? So one of the things that I do is when I have a shirt, this shirt in particular is one of these shirts. I like the shirt because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's a Ford Mustang shirt. The unfortunate thing about this shirt is it creates conversations with car guys that I can't have.
Because you don't know anything about cars.
And they're like, oh, a Mustang guy, huh? I'm like, yeah, my favorite's the Shelly Mustang. That's the good one. So so I can't have that. But anyway, I like this shirt. But I do this thing maybe about a month or so ago when I would put this shirt on where I put it on, right?
Yeah.
And then I grab the bottom of it and kind of crunch it, you know, kind of scrunch it all up.
Yeah.
And then I push forward in order to stretch out the shirt just a little bit to give me a little bit of room so it doesn't feel so tight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you put a shirt in the dryer, it shrinks just, you know, kind of shrinks down, compacted a little bit.
And you know what else happens? When you eat food, your body gets a little bit bigger.
Well, yes. This is how I'm trying to fix that. So, what I'm saying is I know it's working because when I put the shirt on today, I did not have to stretch it. Just put it on and it was good.
And let me tell you, it's showing.
That I didn't stretch it? Well, I know, but I'm just telling you.
Well,
it's working. It's working. I'm eating less.
Yeah.
I'm exercising.
Yes.
And it's working. I do push-ups and crunches every day.
This pair of jeans I'm wearing?
Uh-huh.
First time I've worn them in 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the waist size?
32.
Really?
Yeah.
32, huh?
What do you wear?
It's not applicable to this conversation.
It absolutely is. It's exactly what we're talking about
right
now.
What am I wearing now, or what could I fit into?
Yes.
I think I think I'm around like a 37, you know. currently, I'm wearing a 38 because I like the room. I want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to suck it in when I put my pants on.
No, this 32-inch waist is a little tight.
Yeah.
But you know what? It fits. And it hasn't fit in 3 years.
They're acid washed. People should know.
I'm not sure what that means.
No, they're not.
They're just regular Walmart jeans. I think Arizona.
They look a little dated. I'm not going to lie.
Well, they're from like 1996.
Well,
it's the last time I had a 32-inch waist.
All right. So we're off to a rousing start. We've already had our big food segment. Is there anything else you want to say about food before we move on?
No.
Okay. Jason.
Yes.
If you were famous.
Let
me rephrase that.
Yeah.
When you're famous.
Ooh, I like that better.
Okay. When you're famous, will you create fake Twitter accounts to attack the people that are attacking you on Twitter so you don't look like you're being defensive, but somebody's sticking up for you on Twitter?
Well, I have fake Twitter accounts now.
Oh, jeez. So,
look up Scott Santos.
Scott Santos is one of my fake Twitter accounts. Okay. Yep.
So, and I have multiple of those.
Would you use those to defend yourself against people on the internet that are haters?
I do that. I use Scott Santos to actually trash Shooter Shoot podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. See, and even the Scott Santos SS, Shooter Shoot SS.
Right.
Same thing.
We got a bone to pick with the guys over at Shooter Shoot podcast. You think you can just wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, and put on a professional podcast like my brother and I do every single week?
For years.
You think just because you listen to sports podcasts that all of a sudden that it's just so easy to do? Well, it's not that easy to do, you know? And quite frankly, I'm offended that I feel like you're riding our coattails.
Well, for the listeners who don't know about Shooter Shoot.
Okay.
It's Johnny Meadows.
Johnny Meadows.
Right.
Mostly Johnny, friend of the show, Johnny.
Friend of the show, yeah.
Friend of the show and friend of me, personally.
And he's been one of the very few guests we've actually had on air.
Yeah, it's Johnny Meadows and
Harrison.
Harrison, your son. That's it.
Was Levi on? One time Levi was in the back seat when we did the live.
Yeah, he was around. Yeah, and he was kind of chiming in every once in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, Johnny Meadows, friend of the show, friend of me personally. Yes. I like Johnny as a person. But
I'm middle of the road with him.
Yeah, and he's kind of like back him. Of the road I don't with hate you.
Him. I mean, he's just an okay guy, whatever.
Okay. so
he did buy me dinner one time.
That's true. Buffalo Wild Wings.
So anytime he wants to go out, I'll let him buy me dinner.
He also strangled you. He came behind you and wrung your neck a little bit as an introduction. I like John. John's a good guy, but I'm a little not. I just don't know what to do with him with a podcast. You know.
Well, I think you've even actually said the statement though. If you think it's so easy, why don't you do it?
Yeah, and then he did.
And he actually did it. So he
and
took it up
my
on
problem
it.
Is not that. My issue with it is that I'm threatened by it.
Yes.
And I'm afraid that he will succeed at a level that we have never succeeded quicker than we would have succeeded. And that threatens me.
Well, instantly, we're going to give him a boost in his ratings just by talking about him for 5 minutes.
Absolutely. It's like if Bill Simmons was talking about us.
Yeah.
Or
Joe Poznanski.
You don't even know who Joe Poznanski is.
Yeah, he's a guy you talk about all the time.
I love Joe Poznanski.
Never heard of him.
Joe Poznanski needs to come on the podcast. I love you, Joe. Yeah. I love you. Yeah. I can say that. He wrote a really great article on the 1916 Giants 26 game winning streak.
Right.
And he kind of broke it down. It was really, really good. Joe's the best. But So I'm coming hard after Shooter Shoot podcast, not because I think you're doing a bad job, because I'm afraid that you'll do a better job than we will.
Let's be honest, that's not going to happen.
No, but John did tell me that he wants to challenge us to a 2-on-2 basketball game.
Him and who else? His guy that he does
it
with?
Yeah, his co-host. I think his name is Mike. I don't really know the guy. I just know him from listening to the podcast. Seems like a pleasant fellow.
Is his last name Red?
I think Michael Red. Yeah. No, it's not.
Okay.
I think he recently had a child. I think maybe a first kid situation. I could be wrong about that.
So if we wait 6 months, he's going to put on some weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the goal. And hopefully we're going to continue to take it off. You keep on slipping into those skinny jeans and we'll be just fine. So here's what we're prepared to do, John. We know that you're in, for a couple of reasons, you're in much better shape than we
are. Peak physical condition.
Mostly because you exercise and watch what you eat. You're just a generally healthier person than we are.
And he's 10 years younger, right? But
there's that too. If we were 10 years younger, it'd be a different story. So what we're willing to do right off the bat is challenge you to a series of shooting contests. We would like to play Double Dribble, also known as Two Bounce, a game that we have molded and shaped, which is a shooting game primarily.
Yes.
And a game of horse.
Yes.
And you can challenge them to a free throw shooting contest.
Which I'm an excellent free throw
shooter. I would challenge them to an around the world 3-point shooting contest. Yep. I'd be happy to do that. So the name of your podcast is Shoot or Shoot. Put your money where your mouth is.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a lock that we would win those.
A lock. Yeah, there's no it's no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. We're going to win a shooting shooting contest.
Yes.
Now, if it's a 2-on-2 situation, John, you're taller than us, you're in better shape than us. You're going to out-hustle us.
Yeah.
It'll be easier for you to block our shots.
Yes.
So that would be difficult. But I still feel like we're rounding into shape.
Yeah.
And
we're round and we're in a shape.
Yes. And but I feel like maybe by 2018, beginning of 2018, we'll be doing better. Don't you think?
I'm gonna shoot for Memorial Day, 2018.
Memorial Day, 2018. That's your target.
That's my target.
We've been doing sprints in the morning.
I think by Memorial Day 2018, we could beat them an actual 2-on-2.
Okay.
As of right now, we go in the court right now, 3 o'clock in the morning, Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
And beat them in a shooting contest.
There's no doubt about that.
10 times out of 10.
10 times out of 10. What are we talking about? So there you go. If fans of the show want to see it happen, you know, just let us know. John, if you're listening, and I know you are, because you're ripping off everything we do on this show.
Do they have a Netflix suggestion of the week?
They have. No, they don't. Honestly, you guys are doing a great job. I'm proud of you. You're kind of like, I look at it as, you know, Johnny's like, he's like the assistant coach. Yeah. Right. I'm like Bill Parcells and he's like Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I'm sending him off into the world. Right now, he's in Cleveland and things might not be going so well. But eventually you're going to find your spot in New England and things are going to work out pretty well for you.
OK, so let's be honest. Do you actively listen to his podcast?
Yes, I actively listen to it.
You're a liar.
I do.
How many times have you listened to it?
Like how many episodes have I listened to or how many times have I listened to it? Cause it's two different things.
You're dancing around the issue here.
I listened to the podcast. Okay. I haven't listened to the latest episode. I will admit.
Okay.
I've got catching up to do, but I'm a listener. I'm a subscriber and I'm a listener.
I will admit I've never even heard it.
I know, but you don't listen to our podcast. You don't listen to any podcast.
That is true.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was getting somewhere.
I don't even know where we're at.
With the Twitter suggestion.
Yes.
With a Twitter question.
And I told you, Scott Santos already has an account.
Kevin Durant has been accused of creating fake Twitter accounts.
Yes.
In order to defend himself because he called out his team.
Insecure.
It's a bad look, isn't it? Apparently, there's a rumor, too, that Kevin Durant told his, and I don't think this is a rumor, I think he said this. He told his agent, what did you do to me? Like, why did you make me do this right after he went to Golden State?
Do what?
Moved to Golden State because he was getting so much bad press.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what happened with, I think this is what happened with Durant. So he's a people pleaser. That's obvious.
Yes.
And I think LeBron James has the same problem.
Yes.
And we've talked about this. Have we talked about this? The theory behind this?
I don't know.
I don't like Colin Cowherd as a rule because for a couple of different reasons. He likes to do the thing where he doubles back and he makes a prediction in which he will be right no matter what the outcome is.
Right.
Like Ohio State is playing Oklahoma this weekend. I'm telling you right now, Ohio State's going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma knocked him off. And so then on Monday morning, he can say either A, I told you Ohio State won, or B, right. I told you that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma knocked him off. So he comes out looking like a genius no matter what.
It's like Chris Broussard predicting where the free agent's going to go.
Right. I am hearing that San Antonio is really interested. So, but I will say Colin Cowherd does get it right sometimes, and I think he nailed it. He said that this current crop of NBA stars, your Kevin Durant and your LeBron James, what differentiates them from your Larry Birds, your Michael Jordans, your Magic Johnsons, are strong father figures. Have you heard this theory?
No.
That you've got your Kevin Durant and your LeBron Jameses that are very insecure,
yeah,
and very they're very sensitive to, yes, criticism,
yes,
because they grew up in a home with just a mother.
Mm.
And so, you know, mothers naturally are more, you know, they're kind of doting on their kids a lot more. They're not as critical just by nature. They're more of a nurturer. And a father is the person that's kind of tough on you and kind of gets thickens your skin a little bit, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, they grew up in homes with very strong father figures.
Right.
And so they were very used to criticism. They knew how to handle criticism and it didn't bother them.
Mm.
And that this new crop of stars grew up without father figures, and so they're very sensitive to criticism. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
I believe it. I'm with them on that one. And so I think what you have is Kevin Durant is very sensitive to criticism. And I think what happened was everybody was criticizing him, saying, you're never going to get a championship, right?
Yeah.
And so he says, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I have to do to stop that criticism. Right?
Right.
And so what he does is he goes to Golden State, a place that he virtually guarantees that he's going to win a championship.
Right.
He goes and he wins a championship, but the criticism hasn't stopped.
Right.
Now they don't like him for another reason. And now he's getting upset on Twitter and he's defending himself. And I think what you have to realize is that no matter what, people are always going to criticize you.
Yeah,
if you're in that position.
Right.
And I don't think he likes that. I think he seems like a people pleaser. He wants everybody to like him.
Mm. I wonder if Westbrook had a father figure.
I have no idea.
Because he seems like an extremely strong personality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you'd want a completely blanket statement, but I'll bet you there's something to that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just trying to think on the opposite end of the spectrum what that looks like.
We're both dads.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know,
I'm pretty hard on my kids.
Yeah, and they need you to be.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I think about like how my kids, specifically my son, would be if he only had a mother all of these 13 years of his life. He'd be a sissy,
yeah,
you know, because my wife that's just not what she does. Right. She's more of a nurturer with him, you know? Well, I'm tough on him and I'm hard on him. And
you're not as tough as I am, though.
On my son. And it does offend me. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know why you're so tough on my son, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why you're always, you know, like, pulling him to the corner and, like, you know, like, poking him in the chest and telling him he can go harder and stuff. It's just a little offensive, you know?
Because he's not getting it anywhere else.
Such a good outcome.
No, this Saturday, I won the Owings Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I was going to bring it up first, and then I thought, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. And then now that you've brought it up, I need to
bring it up.
You absolutely brought it up. Being hard on your kids.
Okay.
You're really soft on your soccer players.
No, I'm not.
And I'm
soft.
Really hard on my soccer players. We have two completely different styles of coaching.
No. We have two different styles of players on our team. My team has like three kids that listen to me and are actively trying to shoot goals, and then have about like five or six kids that just kind of stand there, and then I have like four or five kids that all they care about is kicking the ball out of bounds, and they think it's hilarious. The moment they get the ball, they just rocket it out of bounds, and they look at me with this big dumb smile like, and I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly frustrating. Meanwhile, you have at least six kids on your team that are actively thinking about scoring goals.
All of my kids, because I've trained them that way.
But
I'm very hard on them, and I trained them that way.
That being said,
yeah,
we were up 1-0 at halftime.
Yeah, because my son accidentally kicked it into the feet of your daughter,
and
who wasn't even trying.
She scored a goal.
Yeah, wasn't even trying.
All I'm saying is it was 1-0 at halftime.
Yeah, and we ended up winning 4-1.
No, 3-1.
4-1.
Okay, you can say 4-1 as much as you want, but it was 3-1. Because I remember at that point thinking, okay, could we get two going into the fourth quarter?
Who sounds insecure now?
I have always claimed that I'm insecure.
All I know is I'm out there. We have two different names for our teams.
Yeah.
Your team name is Strikers.
We're the Strikers.
So your team is just striking the ball out of bounds the whole time. My team name, Sounders. We are very loud.
Okay.
Very aggressive.
Okay.
We care about what we do.
Yeah.
And so I coach that way.
Whatever.
And we win.
Just switch me teams.
In my coaching, I would completely destroy you.
Switch me teams.
I would beat you.
All right. Okay. Next time our teams play, I'll coach your team. You coach my team, and we'll see how it works out.
I'm going to win.
Okay. Fantastic.
Although, I can't wait. I mean, I have a whole season of training my kids on how to play soccer. But
we practice together.
Yeah.
Your kids are getting the same thing my kids are getting.
It's how it's done. It's You're not what
idiot.
Is being done.
You're an idiot. This occurs to me, this conversation occurs to me that we don't have a soccer theme song, which is a real problem. We need a soccer theme, a jingle.
Yes.
For soccer. All right. So that's that. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Do we?
No, because I continue to win. So that's a non-issue.
All right. Congratulations. So what else is going on in the world of sports or just, you know, in entertainment life in general?
Northern Illinois. Embarrassed Nebraska.
In what?
Football. College football.
Northern Illinois has a college football team?
Little did I know.
Really?
But yeah. Yeah.
And they played Nebraska, like their second string? Like Nebraska put their band out there or something like that? It was like a freshman, like there was like a girl kicker kind of a situation, yeah. Stuff like that? Is that how it was?
I didn't really watch the game. I just saw the score.
Yeah.
I know who was watching the game.
The good friend of the show.
Husky Luke.
Husky Luke.
Yeah. I've not spoke to him. In fact, I haven't talked to Luke in like 20 years.
My condolences, Luke. I feel bad. Listen, yeah. I know what it's like to have a tough loss. I'm a Reds fan. I'm a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
I'm an Ohio State fan, but Ohio State basketball fan too.
Yeah.
So I'm a Cavs fan. I know what it's like to have a tough loss.
Yeah.
A series of tough losses.
Nebraska's 1-2.
A bad run.
1-2 on the
year. Who is their current coach? So they had Bo Pelini for a while, and he's gone. And I can't think of their current coach. I think they got that guy from Oregon State, Riley.
Maybe.
Mike Riley, I think is his name.
Yeah, he's not cutting it.
Well, I don't know. I just want to live in a world. Okay, so do we have? We don't have a college football theme song. Jingle. Man, we need a college football jingle. I'll have my son come in with his trumpet and we'll have him like do some
be
sort
the
of
soccer one.
Well, that's a vuvuzela is the soccer thing.
I don't know what that is.
A trumpet. We can get him to play some sort of fight song on the trumpet and that'll be our theme song. But anyway, when it comes to college football, I want to live in a world where these teams are great. USC.
Okay, you only get five.
I only get five?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, so I get to pick five teams. Are we going to do a draft or a Mount Rushmore? Or are we just,
We're just
okay.
Talking. We're just
shooting the breeze.
Shooting the breeze.
All right.
You get five.
I get five teams that
matter to you.
That matter. I want these five teams to be good.
Yes.
College football is better when these five teams are good.
And you only get five.
For instance, I know Clemson's good right now. That's great. It doesn't really interest me.
Nobody cares.
I don't really care.
If you don't live in South Carolina, nobody cares.
Is that where they play?
I
exactly.
Think so.
It's like I'm sure when they play the Gamecocks, it's a big deal. Get a new mascot name. Gamecocks. Come on.
I like it.
All right. So five teams that I feel like in order for college football, the sake of college football, these teams have to be good.
Yes.
Number one, Notre Dame.
I think that's becoming a thing of the past, but I agree.
Yeah, I think college football is better when Notre Dame is great.
I agree.
I mean, I want Notre Dame to perpetually be in the top five.
I agree.
Number two, and this is self-serving, but I would think I might say this no matter what. Either way, Ohio State.
Yes.
So because you've only given me five, it makes me feel like I can't pick more Big Ten teams. Like I would pick Michigan and Penn State. But Nebraska.
Right.
But if I only get, and I still don't think of Nebraska as a Big Ten team, by the way. When I think Nebraska,
the Big 12,
it usually takes me a minute before I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, they are in the Big Ten.
Like I mean, for the last 15 years.
I know, but it's just the way my brain works.
You almost have to pick one from each conference.
I know.
So if you got one from the Big Ten, it's Ohio State.
So I've got Notre Dame,
or Michigan,
Ohio State. I'm going to pick Ohio State. Notre Dame, Ohio State.
SEC. You get one team.
Alabama.
Okay.
So I'm at three.
ACC?
I mean, I guess Florida State.
I mean, you don't have to. You could pick two SEC teams if you're like Florida.
I think I'd rather Florida State be good than Florida. I think Florida State matters to me more than Florida being
I think
good.
That makes a difference because when we were kids, they were good.
Yeah, I just think they have a better – I don't know why. They just – I love the –
chop, the Seminole.
It's the tomahawk chop, and it's the Seminole running into the middle of the field and throwing the spear. And that's one of the – that might be the coolest thing that happens in college football.
I like it.
It's super cool. So Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama.
USC.
USC, yes, definitely.
That's five teams. You're done.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, USC. All right, I'm going to get rid of Florida State. I'm going to put in – I'm going back and forth between Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's. I think that Texas-Oklahoma is very similar to Ohio State-Michigan.
It's like a wash.
It's a wash. Either one of those teams.
Okay. Well, I feel like one of those two teams have to be in it. So you kind of got all quadrants of the country covered.
Right.
You got your USC, Texas, Oklahoma, I don't care which one, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Florida State.
Okay.
And there are others that I want to put on the list.
I gave you five, you named six.
Okay, that's fine. There's others that I want to put on the list. But like Nebraska, I want to live in a college basketball landscape where every year Nebraska is
football.
Like a – what did I say?
I think you said basketball.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I want to live in a college football landscape where every year Nebraska is a juggernaut.
Yes.
I want Nebraska to be a juggernaut. I want Penn State to be a juggernaut.
Yes.
I want Florida, Florida State, Miami,
Tennessee.
Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia.
Yeah.
All of these teams.
Auburn.
All of these teams should be great every year. Oklahoma.
No, the top 25 needs to be those teams, and they need to be excelling.
And then a random Clemson that rises through the ranks is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, ooh, look at these guys.
Tennessee is bad.
A bit of an upstart. Yeah, Tennessee's not good at football.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. They were good for a long time, like a really long time.
Yeah.
What was the coach's name there that left?
I don't know.
Pat?
Summit. That was the girls' basketball coach.
She was very good at that. All right. Northern Illinois. Sorry, Luke. We feel for you. I'm rooting for you. When you're not playing Ohio State, I want you to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Ohio State losing to Oklahoma, that's a big deal.
But yeah.
Come on. Let's
be
honest.
I've already forgotten about that.
Yeah, but it was Oklahoma. I mean, they're a good team. You lose to Northern Illinois. I mean, that's like you're done.
Yeah.
Nebraska's 1-2.
I found out about the Northern Illinois score while I was looking at the scoreboard because I was at the Ohio State game this weekend.
Your first official game?
My first official game at Ohio Stadium, and I have come to the realization that it is better to watch football at home. It's cheaper.
Yes.
Everything about it is cheaper. The food is cheaper.
Yes. Parking is cheaper.
Parking. I had to pay $20 to park and then ride a bus, you know? Everything's cheaper and it's way crowded and there's tons of people everywhere and I have to sit in traffic before, I have to sit in traffic
Would
afterward.
Would you like to describe to the listeners in the same light that you shared with me, the lady
so
that sat
next to
you? So
here's what happened.
Yeah.
Obviously the bleacher seats are very small. We had very good seats. We were in a section where we were bleachers, but they actually have seats on the bleachers that are like a cushion and then like a back that goes up. And so you can have a back to your seat. You're not just like leaning forward on a bleacher and you have a cushion. So you're not just sitting on the hard aluminum of the bleacher seat. And because it's so small, I sit down and I think to myself, man, this is tiny. These are tiny little seats. I fit in them, but you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room. We've already talked about my pant size, which makes me uncomfortable. So, so not a lot of wiggle room. But the good thing is the seat next to me is empty. So I can like kind of put my arm over there and, you know, I'm feeling comfortable, right?
Well, they're playing Army. So there's a strong possibility nobody will sit in that seat.
Right. The place was packed though.
Yeah.
I mean, there were not a lot of empty seats. I looked.
I think officially it was a sellout.
Yeah. So, but I'm feeling good because nobody's sitting next to me. Throughout the first quarter, nobody's sitting next to me. I'm having a great time. It's fabulous. And all of a sudden, I look down the aisle, and coming down the aisle is somebody that I don't recognize. You know, because you see people going back and forth.
Yeah.
Excuse me, coming through, you know, and you get to know the people in your row. There's a lady coming down the aisle that, I mean, it's hard for me to guess exactly. I'm not good at this, but, I mean, minimum 300 pounds. I mean, she's pushing 350, maybe up to 400. She's large and in charge.
How tall is she?
How tall? Like an inch or two taller than me.
Okay.
and a very large woman.
Possibly twice your size.
Oh, yeah. Twice my size. Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
And
so she's probably 400.
Yeah, she probably is. I'm just trying to be nice to this person that I don't know. And I feel for her. I'm sure, you know, she's like me, you know, wanting to lose weight, wanting to be healthier. You know, it's hard. It's a struggle. Yeah. I get it. But at the same point, now you're sitting next to me. I'm in seat 9. She's like, is this seat 8? I was like, uh-huh, yeah, sure it is. And so now I now have a half a seat.
Right.
Because of this. And I'm leaning sideways next to my wife the entire time.
Yeah.
And so that was for the entire second quarter. But then at halftime, the people next to my wife got up. So then we could scoot over.
Yes.
And then everybody could have a little bit more room. So the second quarter, it was hard for me to pay attention to what was happening in the game because I couldn't really see anything. And it was, you know, just very uncomfortable situation. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, you know where this doesn't happen? On my couch. And so I'm glad I went. It was fun. It was cool because they played Army and these Army guys.
Paratroopers.
Yeah, paratroopers, whatever, came parachuted down before the game, like right onto the middle of the field. That was super cool.
Yeah.
But so I'm glad I went. It was a good experience. My wife and I had a good time. But I'm kind of like, I don't really need to go back.
Yeah.
Like if somebody told me they had tickets for like an Ohio State and Michigan game and it was like at the 50-yard line and both teams were really great and, you know, I kind of knew who was going to be around me.
Right.
Then I'd probably go. But other than that, I'm done.
Yeah, I've been to 6 or 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the only reason I would go would be to go with one of my kids.
Yeah.
Because they still would dig that.
Yeah.
Or if it was a big game that meant something, an Ohio State, Oklahoma, or Ohio State, Michigan, or a bowl game, something like that.
Yeah.
But one time, you know, 100 times out of 100, I would rather be at home on the couch.
It's more comfortable.
Absolutely.
You have a better seat.
DVR, and you can go back and watch it
and
again.
And you know what? You're just, a lot of times you're just looking at the scoreboard anyway, at the
replay,
the Jumbotron or whatever. Yeah. I mean, even live, it's a better shot. Yeah. Sometimes, depending on where they're at in the field and where you're sitting, it makes more sense to look up there than it does to look at the actual field.
You know, I've never been to an NFL game, but I think I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, that it's actually worse because there's more TV timeouts.
Oh,
and there's so much dead time in football anyways.
Yeah.
You don't realize it until you go to a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no interest in going to an NFL game at all, really. I don't like crowds. That's part of my problem. I don't like going to
Sporting events
for because of crowds. I mean, I like some sporting events. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. We're kind of old fuddy-duddies.
The older we get, the more fuddy-duddy we get.
Yeah, I think so. All right. So what else do we need to talk about?
Netflix suggestion of the week.
Netflix suggestion of the week. So every week, if you don't know, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, we just want to say thank you for listening. You know, you didn't have to listen to this podcast, and you chose to listen to it for as long as you've listened to it. And we just thank you. So,
oh, wait.
Yeah.
Real quick. I think I actually have a official sponsor lined up that's going to pay us like real money. I'm kind of excited.
That seems – are you being for real?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the sponsor or is it kind of hush-hush?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't actually received money yet, so I don't want to just give them free advertising.
Oh, that's true.
You got to hold off on that.
Why buy the cow if the you can get the milk for free?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
So I'm just excited because this is about ready to make some real money.
Real.
I mean, like tangible, not
dollar,
like
dollar bills.
Millions of dollars.
Will I'm they pay like, us in cash under the table?
Like $5 or $10.
$5 or $10, that's what we're looking at?
Per episode, you know, we do one a week.
Okay.
That's, you know, that line.
It's enough to give us like food while we do the podcast.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can save up for, what would we save up for?
More food.
Okay, there you go. Do we need to play the food jingle again? All right, so this is your first time listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Every week, for the most part, we try to do a Netflix suggestion of the week. And as we mentioned before, we have plenty of jingles now.
Yeah.
Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix, maybe Hulu.
occurred to me that that could be really loud in your ears. And I apologize if you were driving and you wrecked as a result of
not
that.
Not our fault.
We are not held responsible for that at all.
Nope.
I mean, I do apologize. I'm sorry that that happened to you.
But it might not have been that loud. We don't know.
No, we don't know. Felt really loud from where I'm sitting. Netflix suggestion of the week. Jason, what is your Netflix suggestion of the
week? My Netflix suggestion of the week is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Magnificent Seven, the new retake on the Western.
Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Other guys.
Other guys. The guy from Law and Order who...
Law and Order.
Vincent Delfino, Delgafo, Criminal Intent guy. He was the guy in Jurassic show. World, the bad guy.
The bad guy in Jurassic World?
Yeah, that was wanting to weaponize
Sure. Like yeah, that guy. I don't know his name.
Vincent something or other.
Okay.
I like that guy a lot.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
He reminds me of you.
That's maybe why I like
kind
him.
Kind of like overbearing, very kind of in your face, puts off a real kind of jerk vibe. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that guy.
So your Netflix suggestion of the week is brought to you by Amazon Prime, Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. I watched it like 6 times.
Okay.
The first 5 times I kept on falling asleep, which so doesn't sound great.
No.
But the truth was, I've had a problem lately.
Uh-huh.
I fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night, and then I wake up at 12:30, and I'm awake from 12:30 to 3:30, and then I fall asleep again.
And then when you have to wake up at 6 or whatever.
To take the kids to school.
You're exhausted.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. So in the middle of the night sometimes, like, I can't go to sleep. I just need to watch something.
And lately it's been Magnificent Seven,
right.
And it puts you to sleep?
It helped me relax to the point where I could go to sleep.
Watching guys shoot each other with guns.
Yes, I feel very comfortable with that.
Okay, that's good.
I did have a dream. We didn't talk about this on the air, I don't think, where I killed a guy.
Yeah. Did you kill the guy or did you just rough him up?
Yes, I absolutely killed him.
Yeah, in your dream.
In my dream, yeah,
not
real
life. Let's just clarify.
Absolutely, 100%, it was a dream.
Do you want to tell the dream?
I don't know. I mean, in my dream, we were at my dad's house. And my wife and I were there, and we noticed that someone had broken into the house. We were outside. So I head into the house, and I see this guy, like, holding these things in his hands.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it was. Just held, like, stuff, some of Dad's stuff.
Right.
So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he like, looks at me, and he starts to backtrack. And basically, I got mad, and I grabbed him, and I flung him to the side. And he hit his head against the side of the bar, countertop.
You have, like, Thor strength in your dream.
Yeah, and I swung around 2 or 3 times, and I put my fist through his skull and absolutely killed him.
Wow. Was it a dream that woke you up?
Like, no.
That it was so jarring?
No, I was completely comfortable with it.
You didn't, like, wake up in a cold sweat, like, what have I just done? I'm full of regret.
No. The guy shouldn't have been in my dad's house.
Okay.
In fact, there was a guy in the basement in the dream, too, that I was getting ready to go down there and kill him, too.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I woke up.
Oh.
But it wasn't out of, like...
It wasn't like,
like, no, literally, my alarm was going off.
Yeah.
Like, I had to wake up and go.
Okay. That's the difference between you and me. You have a confidence that I do not possess. In my dream... I would not have done that. I would have talked them down. I would have bartered with them, things like that.
Yeah.
I would not have went straight to killing.
Yeah.
All right, so my Netflix suggestion of the week, I have two. And before the show, you told me, just do one, you know, save it for next time.
Yeah, we have plenty of episodes to go.
But you know what? There's lots of things to watch on Netflix. And I could forget this by the time next week happens. So
okay.
I'm giving both of them. First one, Amazon Prime. It's a movie, The Lost City of Z, or as they would say across the pond, The Lost City of Zed. And it's really good.
Okay.
It's about an explorer, not Dora. You might be familiar with
Dora.
Yeah. We went over the river,
Dora.
Across the bridge.
To the jungle.
River.
Bridge.
Jungle. Not that explorer. It's about this guy from Britain who in his travels to try to map out some of the Amazon became obsessed with this lost city of Z that was made of gold, things like that. No, I can't give it a full endorsement because I still have about an hour left to watch because I was getting so late.
I can't
late.
Believe that. So you're just giving a flat endorsement for this movie.
So far.
What if the last hour is total garbage.
Oh, well, then just watch the first hour, you know, and then
I can't believe you're giving a suggestion that's a partial suggestion.
I've been so busy, I haven't been able to watch it, and it's all I've been thinking about.
Then save it until after you watch it.
It's on my mind.
This is why I told you just to do one.
It's on my mind. And so
you're giving 1.5. It's not even a 2.
Okay, well, I'm giving 1.5.
Okay, what's the other one?
My next suggestion is actually on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's called Jerry Before Seinfeld. It just came out. And I was doing some busy work in the office today where my brain didn't have to really be engaged. So I watched it as I was doing my busy work. And it's Jerry Seinfeld, who I love.
Yeah.
It's his newest stand-up, but it's not like new material. It's right. Older material, and he's at the comic strip, which is where he got his start. And so it's basically him kind of like telling his life story. And so in the middle of the stand-up, all of a sudden it'll kind of like it'll go to him like sitting on the porch of the house that he grew up in, or him sitting in a spot in New York City where he used to hang out when he was a comedian, and he talks about kind of how he became a comedian, and I'm fascinated with that kind of stuff, and I love Jerry Seinfeld. So it's called Jerry Before Seinfeld. It's on Netflix. It just posted within the last couple of days, and it's really, really, really good. Super interesting. So those are my two Netflix suggestions of the week.
We have a lot of things to get through really, really quick. Baseball.
Let's do it.
Home runs are through the roof.
Home runs are through the roof. Good. First of all, is there anything fishy about that to you?
No, I honestly think guys are just getting bigger and stronger and faster.
And not only that, but I think the mentality of
right, the game has changed itself.
The game has changed because strikeouts are way up.
Right.
So guys are swinging, the way that they're swinging the bat is different than they did 15, 20 years ago. It's like every team has 3 or 4 Adam Dunns on it now. Where back when Adam Dunn played, it was like he was kind of a – it was like, boy, this guy strikes out a lot. I don't know if he's worth it. But apparently the math works out, and you should be doing that. That's what they say.
Right. So, well, like if you go back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, Pete Rose, you know, star of the game, was just slapping the ball around. Like what Ichiro does.
Yeah, I love Ichiro.
Yeah.
If you were Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, and somebody comes to you and says, here's the thing, all right, home runs are down. And baseball is more exciting when more home runs are hit. I can juice the baseball, and I guarantee you that nobody's going to find out that we're juicing it. Do you do it?
I don't know. I think home runs do sell. They're marketable. You know, they're exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Chicks dig the long ball.
It's true.
But the truth is, I don't. If I could watch a game with 9 Ichiros going up against 9
P. Roses.
No. Those are two of the exact same player.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like the opposite.
9 Ichiros versus 9
Adam Dunns.
Aaron Judges.
Okay.
I'd take 9 Ichiros.
Really?
I like that. I love that. Slapping the ball around and laying down bunts and punching it to the backside of the, you
like
know.
Like a 2-1 game. Is exciting.
Not necessarily
to
even 2-1, because if you're slapping around, you might score 7 or 8.
Well, I mean, runs are up when home runs are up. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just don't. The home run, I love baseball, and so it's hard to separate. I just love it. It's different. If you had 10 Aaron Judges out there, I don't think that'd be fun to watch. Bunch of strikeouts or a bunch of home runs.
It's a lot of strikeouts because as many home runs as he's getting, he is breaking strikeout records too.
Yeah.
He just tied Mark McGwire for most home runs by a rookie. Is that right?
Yeah, 45.
45. That's a lot of home runs.
For a rookie. Yeah.
That's a lot of home runs for anybody.
Yes.
I'd be curious how many people in the history of baseball have hit 45 home runs in a season. I mean, it might be under 100 people.
If it's under 100 people, I bet 75 of them have been the last 20 years.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
But a lot of strikeouts. I mean, the guy strikes out a lot.
A lot.
Man, but he hits the ball a country mile.
Yeah.
I mean, he might
He's done something. He's hit 100 runs, 100 RBIs, and 100 walks.
Yeah.
He's the last one to do it was Mickey Mantle in, you know, 1957 or whatever.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he gets better for the sake of baseball. And he can kind of work on that a little bit and maybe get his strikeouts down a little bit, get a little bit more contact. He seems like the kind of guy that doesn't have to hit the ball very hard. And order for it to go over the fence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't think he has to swing very hard. I would just think he has to swing. And if he makes decent contact.
Right.
To the guy that really I don't understand, that just makes zero sense to me, is Jose Altuve. That guy is like 5'4".
Yeah.
And he's hitting like 400-foot home runs.
He's juicing it.
Not only is he hitting home runs, but he's crushing home runs. They're not just barely flying over. How a guy that is that – I know it's bat speed – the science of it, I get all that, but I don't know how a guy that small hits home runs that far. It just doesn't make any sense to me. He's awesome. He's if I was starting a team today, okay, I'm going to give you, you're starting a team today, you're picking, I'm going to give you three players to build around. Who are your three players you're picking?
Ichiro.
The 75-year-old Ichiro?
He's only 42. I like Aaron Judge.
He's going to be on your three to build around?
Yeah, he's young.
He's not as young as you think he is, because he was in the minors for – I mean, he's about the same age as Mike Trout.
Having just said that, I hate the home run ball.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, that seemed very counterintuitive.
It is. I don't know. I mean, Lindor is amazing.
Francisco Lindor for sure is on my list.
Yeah. And it's hard if I'm starting a team. I really want pitching.
Right.
I want good young pitching. I don't know.
Well, all I'm saying is Altuve might be my first pick. I mean, I think he's that good.
He's very, very good.
I mean, he hits for power. He's in a tremendous glove in the field, and his average is like 350. He's very, very good.
I have a hard time believing a guy like that's going to hold up.
Yeah.
With those numbers and those stats.
Who's the best tiny player of all time? Bip Roberts. I don't know how small he was. He seemed like a small guy. Well, not many tiny players. Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, I like Dustin.
Jose Altuve might be the best tiny player of all time, because I can't think of another one that's like great.
Of all time. I mean, give him some longevity before you put that crown on him.
Okay. So you're not happy with the home runs. You feel
I'm
not
happy with it, but I'm not juicing the ball on purpose.
Yeah.
I want to level the game out. I want to try. I would honestly, because I know over the years they've raised and lowered the mound.
Yeah.
You know, they've done little things like that to kind of tweak the game.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely okay with trying to keep the numbers on par with what they've always been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adjusting the game slightly so that the numbers stay the same.
There was a period of time with the mound where the home team got to decide what the mound was.
Actually kind of like that.
Yeah, that seems like your kind of thing. Apparently, so Walter Johnson, who some people say is the greatest pitcher of all time, he was a submarine pitcher, sidearm, and threw the ball real low.
Yeah.
So whenever he pitched, he had them take the mound away completely because it was to his advantage. In fact, some people thought there was even a dip in the field, just a little bit, a dip. So the ball was basically like coming up from the ground.
Right.
And then other guys would have you put it real high. Apparently, Bob Feller, I think maybe, was the one that wanted it to be, he wanted to be like basically throwing it straight down to you, like from a mountain. So, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It used to be way, way long ago that there was just a square that they would pitch from. There was no rubber, you know, that you'd have to stand on.
Yeah.
And so you could pitch from anywhere in the square. So you could move over like 3 or 4 feet and kind of pitch from it. I mean, that would not work today because that's such a huge advantage for the pitchers that you could move back and forth. I mean, imagine what different things you could do. So,
well, the angles.
Yeah.
Like lefties have a hard time hitting lefties right now.
Right.
If you could angle it and come 3 feet off to the left even more.
It would change. Like the league batting average would drop by like 150 points.
That would not be good.
That would be bad. So I like what they're doing now. I do like giving – I think one of the coolest things about baseball is the uniqueness of each home field being its own thing and how you can have the Green Monster and how you can have the weird hill in – where's that? Houston where they have that. I don't know. It seems like they got rid of that in Houston. But I like that. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you add it to the mound. That's fun, I guess. Are you just going to stand?
You're driving the show.
I am?
That's what we've done for the last 3.5 years.
We haven't done it for 3.5 years. All right. So so what else do we have to talk about? Do we have anything else? You said we had a lot of stuff to get through.
Baseball, anything football, else? College football. We had NFL football. You don't even care.
Yeah, I'm kind of I find myself watching. Now, first of all, I should preface this by saying I'm a Bengals fan.
Yes.
So
0-2.
0-2. So maybe
I have not scored an offensive touchdown all year.
That's not good. No. One of the things that you want to do. Now, I'm not claiming to be a football expert, but I do know one of the things you want to do is score touchdowns with your offense. It's great when you can score them with your defense. It's great when you can score them with your special teams.
Yes.
But you're probably not going to win a Super Bowl if you don't score any offensive touchdowns.
Probably not going to win too many games.
Turns out the Red Rifle, not that good. Which I've kind of known for a while.
Well, what really, really stinks more than anything else is I've got AJ Green.
On your fantasy
team. On my fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. Do I bench him? How do you bench AJ Green? He's a top five receiver in the league.
It'd be hard to bench him. And, I mean, if you're convinced that this is the way they're going to be, maybe you try to trade him.
Stock's at an all-time low.
Yeah. Here's what you do. You wait for his next great game.
And then dump him.
At some point, he's going to have like a big game. He's going to score 2 touchdowns and have 150 yards.
Right.
And at that point, you trade him when somebody's like, he's back. Because the truth is, until they get another quarterback, he's not back.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, it is bad. He's great.
AJ Green.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
He could be – put him in New England. Put him with – I don't know who any other – like put him in Oakland. There are a lot of other teams that you could put him with, and he would be fantastic.
Right.
But, yeah, Andy Dalton, I just – I like Andy Dalton. He seems like a nice guy, but I just – I think it's done.
But the Bengals quarterback situation is better than the Browns quarterback situation.
Well, come on. I mean, you know, that's –
What are we talking about?
Yeah. The Browns quarterback situation is not very good. In fact, I think it was on Dan Patrick this week that Joe Thomas, the only great player to come out of Cleveland since Bernie Kosar, Joe Thomas admitted that he's been through so many quarterbacks that there was actually a time in the huddle, during a game, that a quarterback came out to play because somebody got hurt or benched. And when the quarterback came out, Joe Thomas shook his hand to introduce himself. Hi, I'm Joe Thomas.
I'm your left guard.
You're going to be quarterback? Who are you? You know?
Number 14. Okay.
Yeah, apparently that's not that really happened. That's a bad sign for your organization, don't you think?
Yeah, it's really, really bad.
Yeah. So, but even that being said,
if I'm the Browns, I'd take Andy Dalton all day long.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's better than who you have, but just in general, I watch the NFL. I'll turn a game on, and I'm sitting there watching it, and it just doesn't. Have it for me. I don't know.
You don't play fantasy sports.
No, I'm done playing fantasy sports.
Okay, so I'm in a fantasy football league.
Yeah.
It's a paid league, like a high dollar league.
Yeah.
Last year I won a couple hundred bucks off of it.
Yeah.
I've got Ezekiel Elliott. I've got AJ Green. I've got Jordy Nelson. Drew Brees.
Those are all guys that aren't doing very good this year.
This year not so good, but I'm 2-0.
Okay.
I've pulled it off. So I've got Carlos Hyde. So what I do is, I mean, I end up just watching these players.
Yeah.
Like, it gives me a reason to watch the 49ers because I got Carlos Hyde.
Well, yeah.
So otherwise, I want to watch it.
Like, that's why I stopped playing fantasy, because I didn't like watching football like that. It was like, it was weird. It just wasn't fun for me.
The problem is, as a Browns fan, I can't watch the Browns. Yeah. It's depressing.
I've done a little bit of the daily fantasy. A couple years ago with Dad, I would be over at the house to watch football on Sunday afternoon, and Dad wanted to do the daily fantasy thing. What's it called?
FanDuel
and DraftKings, one of those two. And so Dad saw a commercial for it, and I said, "Hey, Dad, for $10, they got a deal or something, you know? Maybe you should try this out, you know?" And so doesn't really say much.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he walks back to his bedroom, and he comes back out of his bedroom with a $10 bill in his hand, gives it to me and says, you know, like, what, you know, basically we're going to put this on something, you know? I'm like, Dad, I can't put the $10 bill in
There's
my
no
phone.
Bill. There's
you know what I mean?
No bill.
It won't receive my, the,
you but scan
I was like,
it.
I was like, okay. So,
take a picture of the 10 and promise you'll send it in the mail.
Exactly. So for like 10 weeks, we'd put like a dollar down on something or whatever. Right. And that's kind of fun. Like if you just play like the afternoon games and you know, you're going to watch those two sets of games, that's kind of fun for the afternoon, but I don't know. I just can't get into it anymore.
Well, to me,
and
I mean,
the NFL is not interesting to me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you got a roster of 12 guys, and you know, I'm 12 different teams. No matter what game's on, I either have a player or I'm going against a player.
Don't you feel like they're just way more conservative than they used to be? A lot more dinking and dunking. It just seems like quarterbacks that are more managing and not trying to like really go deep downfield. It feels like there's only two or three quarterbacks in the league that will go deep consistently. Like, and actually take a risk.
The game's constantly evolving.
Yeah. Well, I don't like it. I don't like the NFL. And it's not like the concussion stuff, you know? It's not like, because that's what I think a lot of people are saying. The NFL is not so popular anymore because it's all this idea about these guys are getting concussions and it's this gladiator sport and people are kind of evolving. It's not that. I mean, I don't want these guys to get concussions. I hope they don't. But
I think fantasy football has hurt the brand. You know, you're, instead of rooting for the front of the jersey, you're rooting for the back of the jersey.
I agree. I do think that versus,
you know,
it.
If you're a college football fan, you're rooting for Alabama or you're rooting for Arkansas. You're rooting for, you know, whatever your team is.
I think the thing that the NFL has going for it is that I think it seems to be the easiest sport to gamble on. It's kind of like made for gambling, and it's good on TV in a way that other sports aren't. So it'll probably be fine. But for me, I found myself quite a few times, like Thursday night games, Monday night games, Sunday night games, where I'm sitting down and I turn it on and I watch it for about 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know. And so I just turn on baseball because baseball right now to me is more interesting. But that's probably just me.
So NBA.
NBA. What do we have to say about the NBA?
Houston is about ready to get either better or worse.
Because Carmelo basically decided that if the Knicks want to trade him, he'll trade his he'll waive his trade clause in order to go to the Rockets.
He opened up Houston as the only possibility, only team that he would go to.
If you want to get rid of me, I will go to Houston and I won't fight it. So it'll be Chris Paul, James Harden, and Carmelo Anthony on the same team.
What do you think? I think that's a disaster.
I disagree. I think it works because Carmelo, I don't think, has to have the ball in his hand. I'm curious to see how the Chris Paul, James Harden thing works. But if they can get that to work, I think Carmelo's happy to come off of screens, to stand around and wait to get shots because he will hit open shots. And he's not a guy that creates a lot off the dribble. He's more of just a shooter and a scorer, and he can do turnaround jumpers, things like that. He can back people down. He hits open shots. I think he'd like to play with guys like James Harden. And James Harden likes to get assists. His assist numbers were way up last year. And
that is
so
true.
Now all of a sudden he's got Carmelo just waiting in the corner for the three, and then you got Chris Paul. I think basketball wise, it makes a lot of sense. But
although
personality
James Harden doesn't
wise,
play defense, Carmelo doesn't play defense.
No, Chris Paul does.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think basketball wise, I think it works. I think it works from a basketball standpoint. Personality wise, I don't know.
And I think it's a disaster that it's another all-star going to the West.
Yeah. When
why?
And LeBron's going to be there next year. And then all of a sudden it's
the East will only be the Celtics.
The Celtics and, well, the Greek Freak is getting better every year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be a team to contend with. 2 years from now, they're going to be very good just because he's so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's about it. Celtics look great. And the Celtics could even add some pieces over the next 2 years.
Yeah, so, I think they still have a lot of draft picks lined up.
Yeah, it still feels like Danny Ainge is kind of doing stuff there.
He, like Boston, all of a sudden has turned into Mr. Sportstown. Holy cow.
Well, Boston, I mean, they've been sports town ever since Sam Malone played for the Boston Red Sox in the 70s.
Like, but the crazy genius Bill Belichick.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Terry Francona. Mm-hmm. Who's a GM at Boston? He went to the Cubs.
Yeah.
Totally drawing a blank.
You caught me off guard. I can see his face. It is, oh my gosh. How come I can't think of his name? Continue. I will look it up on the internet.
The whole point is I feel like there's a lot of like evil genius.
Theo Epstein.
Yes.
Thank you. I didn't have to look it up, just for the record. It just came to me. So
these like crazy genius.
Yeah.
You know, Brad Stevens. It's like, where, how did this happen?
Well, did you know the Red Sox? I think it's the Red Sox. They hired Bill James, like the god of sabermetrics. They hired him.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a sabermetrics kind of new wave thing that Boston has accepted. For some reason, Boston has been receptive to it in a play in a way. I think they even have a big Sabermetrics like conference every year in Boston. It's like a big deal. So I don't know what it is, but they
think about it. If it works with a low budget,
yeah,
you ought to be able to crush with a big budget.
It's a good time to be a Boston sports fan.
Absolutely.
And you got the Bruins.
I don't know anything
about hockey. I have no idea. I don't know anything about hockey. I know that hockey's about ready to start, and that always surprises me. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, why am I getting hockey highlights on SportsCenter?
Yeah.
This doesn't seem right.
It was 90 degrees today.
Like, in a week or something, they're going to start up.
Yeah.
We should go to a hockey game. Now, that's fun. That's a sports.
I've been to a minor league hockey game.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun. I do feel like it's been probably over because people really go crazy and they talk about like, oh, it'll change your life and now you'll be this huge hockey fan. It didn't do that, but I did really enjoy it. I liked the vibe. It was a lot of fun.
I tell you what, I've been playing a lot of FIFA.
Yes.
And soccer.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a soccer fan yet.
Ooh, but there's a window.
There's a window.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling it a little bit more. Like, I turned it on the TV the other day.
Really?
I don't know who it was on.
Okay. Because
the English Premier League.
Yeah, it's started up now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a little bit the other day, and I'm like, I could see this having some potential.
You're starting to see the game differently.
Yeah.
And so what was seemingly boring times is now becoming more interesting.
Well, it's like, you know, if your girlfriend, your wife, you know, sitting there watching you watch football, it's like not understanding the game, like, this is boring, I hate this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she starts asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's that yellow line?
Right.
Why does that yellow line keep on moving? Well, that's a first down marker. Yeah. You have to get past that first down marker.
Yeah.
Other than that, she's cheering every time they get to the yellow line.
Right.
She's understanding the game.
Yeah.
I'm understanding soccer a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. That is a bit. I mean, there are some sports that I've tried to like because it's like I know cricket is the worldwide phenomenon. People love cricket.
Yeah.
I've tried to watch it and I don't understand it. I need a separate.
I feel like a video game would be a perfect way to learn cricket.
Yeah, probably. Well, I will say of all the things that I enjoy watching, I don't know. Maybe I don't know about my favorite, but top five at least is USA Soccer. Like, I love watching USA Soccer, and they're not great.
Howard is the
goalkeeper? Dwight Howard? Yeah, Dwight Howard. Tim Howard.
Yeah.
Tim Howard is awesome.
See?
He's getting older.
I know a soccer player.
But Tim Howard is awesome. He's a great – in fact, goalie is the thing that we do better than anybody else. That, like, we have the market. We have the corner on goalies in America.
All right.
We have very good goalies. We don't have guys that can score or be creative – other than Clinton Dempsey's pretty good at it, but now he's getting older. But even he wasn't, you know, Ronaldo. So we're still missing Ronaldo, Neymar, Messi types. But I love watching USA Soccer. I get into it because they're the underdog and all that stuff. So
I think just about any international competition I'm okay with.
Right.
If it's got USA versus Germany.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you get amped up.
To me, that would be the ultimate. I know this is never going to happen, but to me, the greatest sports thing, if I could just pick one thing, would be for the U.S. to win the World Cup. That would, like, destroy the world. I mean, people would just go nuts. People, because
– when's the next World Cup?
It is 20 – so what is the year now?
17.
2017. I think it's in 2018. It's in Russia because they're just starting
qualifying. Is USA qualifying?
Not yet. Well, I mean, they're in qualifying,
right,
but they're not qualified yet. They lost a game to Costa Rica that they should not have lost.
Costa Rica has 250,000 people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a soccer culture, and America has not.
300 million people?
I know. We should have beat them, and we beat them before. So
can we use Mexicans – on our soccer team?
Well, Mexico uses Mexicans, but there are some
Mexicans
guys
here
that have dual citizenship that can play for either. And quite a few of the guys have chosen to play for America, but there are a couple of guys that have chosen to play for Mexico.
What's Classic 12?
For the guys that have what?
Classic 12, Classic 11, Classic 9.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an international team filled with all-stars.
That might just be a FIFA thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't really know what that is.
I don't know what that is, but they're really, really good on FIFA.
Okay. Well, and I love it. And so there's El Clasico, which is every time Barcelona plays Real Madrid. They call that El Clasico, and that's always like that's like the Yankees Red Sox. That's like Ohio State Michigan. It doesn't happen. I think it happens like twice a year or something like that.
Yeah.
But whenever it happens, El Clasico is a big deal when those two teams play each other. So a lot happening in soccer all the time. And if you wanted to, there's so much happening in soccer. Like if you followed the German league and the Spanish league and the British league,
I don't care that much.
Yeah, I'm just saying like it could consume your life as a sports fan if you let it. There's just so much happening.
Yeah.
So I love soccer. I do. I think soccer seems like such a hard sport to coach. You know, like,
well, I do pretty good with it.
Okay, that's enough. I'm
basically undefeated.
All right, yes. And the YMCA, when you have your son on your team who's like three times as fast as anybody on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do great when you have that.
I'm awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, is there anything else to talk about?
Have we gone through everything? Baseball, football, basketball,
yeah,
Netflix,
you know,
hockey,
food,
soccer,
everything.
BIG FOOD.
We eat big food. Joe, I hope you appreciated that. I am going to text you tomorrow.
Can we go out with that song?
We could go out with that song. Do you want to?
Yeah.
We've got other stuff we could go out on.
But... Well, I'm really digging that song.
Okay. So, is that it?
Yeah.
So, you know what? I don't think I did the sign-off last week.
What did we do?
Well, I just started playing Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit, but I don't think I said keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.
Yeah.
My classic
tag.
Sign-off.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, thank you for listening to Lower Road Radio. This is Dan Owings signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.